We're going to meditate on Matthew 20, 17 to 28. If you have a Bible in a seat pocket in front of you, you're welcome to look that up. I'll intersperse the verses in the sermon as we go along. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. Grant that through you we may have that sweet peace of sins forgiven and the joy of blessed service in your dear name. Oh, help us, Lord. Hosanna to you, the Son of David. Amen. In the name of Jesus, David's own son, David 1,000 years before, and Jesus coming to rule on that throne eternally, dear Christian friends. Apparently, it's not just the hockey dads and the basketball parents that go bonkers watching their kids, trying to live their fantasies through their children on the court or on the ice. It's not just the dads. But this feeling of parents is not so strange and not so new. It's actually somewhat reflective of our Heavenly Father in His children and living out His blessing and His service through us. But He wants us to see in Jesus today, the King of all creation, humbly riding into Jerusalem, the joy of Christ-like service, service rendered first to us, and that we, in turn, can then be a blessing to render to others. We see our Lord Jesus come so humbly. Our King comes to serve. And in Him, in His priceless ransom from death, we find also the patient power for our own service. On this special day dedicated to Christ's triumphal entry, it's good to go back to the three times when Jesus was telling His disciples, "We're going up to Jerusalem." Good to see that He was headed toward the cross, and He wanted them to know the cross that leads to the crown. Our Savior, our King, comes to serve. Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, and He took the disciples aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law." This is the third time. Do you ever feel like a broken record? Like a broken record? Like a broken record? Some of you too young to remember the LPs that preceded MP3 files, cassettes, 8-tracks, CDs. You used to have a little plastic disc, they called it LP, for long play. Problem was, the plastic got scratched. And the needle would hit the scratch and jump and repeat and repeat and repeat. And it got so annoying, you just wanted to use the old LP for a Frisbee. But imagine if you've got something really important to tell someone and you have to keep repeating yourself. How frustrating that can be. Look at the patience of our Lord Jesus and the wisdom of Jesus as the master teacher. He waited till nearly the end of His ministry before He began to tell His disciples where it was going. They should have known from the Old Testament prophecies. This was nothing new. But they all had other plans. You may remember the first time in Matthew chapter 16, he reports that after Jesus announced that He was going up to Jerusalem, that the chief priests and teachers of the law would have Him killed and the third day He would be raised to life again, Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him. "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" You would hope it would sink in, but it didn't. Again, after Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, when they were together in Galilee, he said to his disciples, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life." And the disciples were filled with grief. But it didn't last very long. And their grief missed the whole point of the resurrection. They so fastened on that, and then forgot about it. So that by the time Jesus is here in the third announcement in our text, in Matthew chapter 20, they don't have the right thing in mind at all. He says, "We are going up to Jerusalem." Now he's going to give graphic details. "The Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death, and they will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." You know what strikes me personally when I hear Jesus repeating himself again and again to the disciples? I'm looking in the mirror. How many of Jesus' parables have I studied and read and taught about forgiveness and Christian service, this Christ-like love of God that's to be reflected from God's people? And forgotten. Moment of hunger or fatigue. You forget. We're looking in the mirror. And Jesus has to keep reminding us that the way to the crown is always by way of the cross. The glory will only follow as we follow in the Lord's footsteps. We follow Him in humble service. But oh, we need the reminder. What happens even to Jesus' disciples? All the men here should relate to this. He taught his disciples for 3 years, warned them about what was coming. Where were they when Jesus was nailed to the cross? Hiding. The only disciple there with Jesus was John. The women were there. Left to ourselves, men will always leave the women to serve. Let them do it while we go off with something else. But the heart of the woman forgets the Christian service too, and you can see it sometimes when ladies' groups tend to get all fastened on a few pennies in their treasury and where that's going to go. And pretty soon the service of the Lord and the glory of being a blessing to the saints is lost. We forget it again and again. We have those times when we feel as if, well, if I can't do everything I want to do, I just won't serve at all. We pull out, give up, walk away. Or you get individuals who will complain that nobody's listening, implying that nobody's listening to each other. But the real problem is they're not listening to anyone, and they have an attitude like my way or the highway. If we don't get our way, it's like little children taking our marbles to go home. Play by myself. You know, dig a little hole, have a pity party, invite people, but nobody wants to come. Oh, friends, we are so much like Jesus' disciples. If he did not show us this again and again and have us look in the mirror, we could never learn. We need to admit it, confess it, and rejoice in the fact that Jesus, our King, the Lord of all creation, miraculously rode the unbroken colt of a donkey into the city of Jerusalem, ride on, in majesty, in glorious pomp, ride on to die. And in his priceless ransom, we receive redemption and ransom from our own death of sin and selfishness, so that we can look up to our Lord in joy and find in his patience and his power and his grace everything we need to serve in his dear name. Our King comes to serve. So how would you feel after a third announcement like that, as graphic as it was, and then you get this? "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him." I said it was not just the hockey dads. Two leading disciples of Jesus here from that inner circle of Peter, James, and John. This is James and John and their mom. Special request. What is it you want, he asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I am going to drink? We can, they answered. Where does this patience come from in our Lord? Wouldn't you think that when you're so expecting such a difficult time in your life to have somebody come back with such a selfish request that they have no concern about you at all, wouldn't that just put you over the edge? But Jesus, patient teacher, kind-hearted lover of souls, he uses it as an opportunity to teach us about Christian service, and by this mercy, to empower us to do the same, to follow in his footsteps. So he's going to teach them, and these two disciples don't know how right they are. Can you drink from my cup, the cup of suffering? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. Suffering, yes, but some special place of honor for your glory? No. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant at the brothers. Why do you suppose they were mad? Wouldn't you like to think they were upset because those brothers were just so unkind and unfeeling to the Lord? How could you treat the Lord this way when he has told us he's going to suffer and die for three times and then you're asking for a special place? You can tell from Jesus' answer that's not what was on their hearts. They were mad and indignant because they wanted those places. They had the same problem as James and John. Don't give it to them. What about us? So Jesus has to teach them. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Anything different in our day and age? Anybody with power and authority? Politicians, kings, presidents, prime ministers? The rulers of the Gentiles still do this, still lord it over their subjects, but not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. The word is slave. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The Lord of all creation, the Son of God, rides into Jerusalem to die. He rides in deep humility to give up his life for you and me and wash our sins away, yes, but also to give us the power to more and more live and think and feel like him, to grow up as children of the Heavenly Father. And it's happening. I've been watching this for years. Long ago, my efforts to try to stay on top of just knowing all the Christian service going on just at this congregation, it got away from me a long time ago. Such as a few weeks ago, I saw the barrels out there. I knew that God's people were gathering supplies for the food shelf. What struck me is to look at everybody carrying out all this food and supplies, and not just the moms and dads. The children, with joy on their faces and such happiness in their eyes, serving Jesus. And knowing it's really for him as we love those around us. You know that song that we sing, Beautiful Savior, King of Creation? As a pastor, I get to see this again and again. I see my beautiful Savior in you. I see the beauty of Jesus Christ and the selfless, self-sacrificing, kind-hearted, humble service of the Savior. I see it in you. Sometimes I see it more than you do, and that's probably good. Those who years ago, as leaders and responsible officers in our congregation, saw that there were new men joining that wanted to serve and stepped aside and said, go ahead, have a turn. Not holding on to it any more than Jesus held on to his deity, he let it go in service, and so did they. But now, years later, as we come around again and we need more to step into those directors of committees, old guard stepping up, serving again. And sometimes saying things that are so Christ-like, like, maybe I can't do everything I would like to do, but I'll do what I can. Why? For the Lord. The women at the cross of Jesus reflected in our sisters today. Couldn't quite get a single meeting time a month for as many women as we have in our congregation. So what do we end up with? We end up with Women of Faith, New Life, two groups, afternoon and evening. You may not even realize what a miracle you're looking at there. But this desire to serve now has more than doubled. The beauty of our Savior in willing hands and eager hearts. That's Christ in you. As we hallow God's name, He lets His kingdom come. Through His Word, working among us, that joy is there. And when we praise the Lord, we also praise the Lord for what He is doing in us and through us, because our King came to serve. And in His grace is the power of our own service and the pardon of our sins and our shame. We serve in joy our Heavenly Father. We hallow His name as He causes His kingdom to come, and our lives become the song of the children. Hosanna to the King of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen.